We've been in this series, and take your Bibles and turn with us to the book of Proverbs. Been in a series called 101 Living. Excuse me. And we've been looking at things that are basic and foundational for our lives. I've enjoyed it, just studying it and delivering it. We've looked at rebuilding and spirit-filled living and forgiveness 101. We looked at depression and heaven 101. Last week had a number of responses regarding waiting 101. How you and I wait upon the Lord will renew our strength. And sometimes every believer sometimes has to wait to be able to experience all that the Lord has for them. Today I want to speak to you about something that we all wrestle with and will have to deal with in our lives. And I've just simply entitled it Speech. Say speech. Say it nice and loud. Speech. If you're watching online, say speech. Speech 101, taming the tongue. I love the story about a young man that arrived early for his date with his girlfriend. And she ran to the door because he was early. She had wet hair and no makeup on her face. She was embarrassed, so she just tried to make the best of the occasion. And she smiled and said, "Well, what do you think?" The young man grinned and very wisely said, "It looks like something beautiful is about to happen." Several years later, this couple was now married. And one day the man got home to find his wife with her hair up in big, huge pink curlers. And he looked at her and said, "What happened to your hair?" And she said, "I just set it." And to which he responded very caustically, "When does it go off?" Both of those are funny, but only one was kind. Your words, they can devastate or they can delight. They can energize people or they can wipe them out. Your words can tear down or they can build up. In the book of Proverbs, we discover there's a lot to say about what we say. In fact, in the book of Proverbs, the words lips, mouth, tongue occur no less than 150 times in 31 chapters. Simple math is more than 5 times per chapter. Words are very, very important. Genesis chapter 1 reminds us, Brighton, that the entire universe came into existence simply because God said. Jesus himself in John chapter 1 verse 1 says that he is the Word of God. Our primary text this morning is Proverbs 18:21. Would you stand with me for the reading of the Word? Look what it says. One simple verse, right? It's on your bulletin as well, or your handout. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Would you read that out loud with me? The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Lord, add your anointing to the word, I pray. Lord, it's such a practical word. I pray that you would speak to my heart and speak to people's lives today. Lord, our tongues have the power of life and death in it, to bless or to blast. And Lord, I pray that you would speak a word to people today through this mortal tongue. And if you can't speak through me, speak in spite of me to these people that you and I love. And we'll thank and praise you for it. And all God's people would say, amen. You may be seated. Our words either launch life, Brighton, or they deliver death. I'll repeat that again. They launch life or they deliver death. Everything that you said, think about where you were at last week, this time. We were preaching a message on waiting. And everything between then and now, every word that you spoke this past week either assassinated somebody or it breathed life into the people around you. So let's look at two major points today, if we can, with a lot of subpoints. Right from this verse of Scripture, first off is this. Our words are potent. You could put in the P word, powerful. They're potent. The word says there the tongue has the power. Say power. During World War II, the government printed posters that showed a drowning soldier, and some of the same posters or message had a ship that was sinking. And I'll say the first two words, you say the last two words, right? Ready? That were on the poster. Loose lips. Nice and loud. Loose lips. It was very important for the GIs in port. It was a message given to us by Uncle Sam that the GIs not tell anybody where their ship was headed, because there might be spies around, and that information, if it was given to the enemy, would be used as opportunity to target American ships to try and sink them. Loose lips sink ships. A soldier who talked too much could literally lose his life or cause the death of hundreds. Words, I would submit to you, are powerful for at least three reasons. Look at them. Words are always present. Their words are present. According to researchers, on average, we open our mouths about 700 times a day, using about 20,000 words if you are a man, 30,000 words if you are a woman. That wasn't directed to be mean. I'm just telling you the facts. And if we speak this much, 20,000 or 30,000, 700 times a day, we're bound to say something that brings death to someone. And hopefully we're using our words to give life to others. Jesus himself said it. Matthew's gospel, we'll reference it at the close of the message. But Jesus said, by your words, say by my words. By your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. Words are present. They're just prevalent within our culture. Secondly, words penetrate. Proverbs 12:18, Solomon said, reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Loose lips still sink ships today. Our tongues torpedo relationships and ambush reputations. Like a sword, our speech can lacerate a life in just a matter of seconds. The things that we can say can either bring emotional life to people or emotional death. And you and I have both experienced both of those occasions. Proverbs 12:25 says this, an anxious heart weighs a man down, but a kind word cheers him up. Think of when someone spoke to you exactly the right words at exactly the right time. What did they say? How did those words build you up? Now think of someone who spoke recklessly what was said then. Can I ask? Some of you remember words that sliced through your spirit decades ago. Can I tell you, when I see a friend of mine, this girl that I went to camp with on Facebook, every time I see her, I think about her when I was in high school saying in front of a bunch of people, hey, Brad, you know what? It's good to see you. Looks like your complexion is clearing up. I can still remember those words 40 years later. Have I forgiven her? Sure. But I can still remember them. They pierce us. How did those words affect you that emotionally ambushed you, torpedoed you? They're present. They penetrate. They words spread. We say a lot of words that go down deep, but they also get spread far and wide. Look what the word says again about words. A scoundrel plots evil, and his speech, here we are, is like a scorching fire. Perhaps you've experienced the pain from a rumor that spreads like wildfire. It's no fun, is it? Words don't just evaporate once they've been spoken. They're like burning embers that get the opportunity to engulf an entire forest, if you will. On October 8, 1871, About 8:30 at night, Mrs. O'Leary's barn caught on fire. Presumably a cow, her cow, kicked over this lantern as she was milking the cow, and a little lamp of oil spread out and caught into flame, and we know the Great Chicago Fire from that occasion. By the time the fire came under control on October 10th, 3 days later, October 10th, 1871, the Great Chicago Fire had left 300 people dead, 100,000 homeless, and 17,000 structures were destroyed or damaged at an estimated cost of $200 million in 1871. It was half of the city of Chicago that was burned just from that little spark spreading. Fire will burn until it runs out of fuel. And to stop the fires of gossip or slander or malice, we've got to remove the fuel of wrongly used words. That's the fuel. James chapter 3, Jesus' half-brother said these words, "The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body." Proverbs 26, 20, "Without wood, a fire goes out. Without gossip, a quarrel dies down. As charcoal to embers and as fire to wood, so is a quarrelsome man for kindling strife." Words are potent. Look at just some of the, from the book of Proverbs, look at some of the toxic talk or types of talk that Solomon highlights in his Proverbs. How about gossip? Proverbs chapter 20, verse 19. "A gossip betrays a confidence, so avoid a man who talks too much." I love the story about three preachers from the same town, but three different churches. They went out on a fishing trip, and together they were out in the middle of the lake, and so they started to confess their sins one to the other. The first preacher said, "You know what? I've got a big sin in my life. My big sin is drinking. I go once a month into a neighboring town where nobody knows me, and I get drunk, and I know it's wrong. I still do it, and I shouldn't." The second preacher spoke up, and he said, "My big sin is gambling. I went to Vegas last year and lost a huge sum of money. I know it's wrong, but I still do it at least annually." The third preacher spoke up, and he said, "Guys, I should have probably gone first." And the two preachers previously were puzzled, and they said, "Well, why?" The third preacher said, "My big sin is gossiping." Proverbs 18:8, what does it say? "The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to a man's innermost parts." The Living Bible highlights Proverbs 18:8 by saying this, "What dainty morsels rumors are, they're eaten with great relish." That means the gossip is fun and interesting because it appeals to our desire for information. And the danger is that when we feed gossip, what happens? People crave more. It reminds me also of angry words. Jot that down. Not only gossip, but angry words. Some of you have experienced the pain and destruction that can come from what I call volcanic verbiage. Someone who spews it out. Proverbs 29, 22. "An angry man stirs up dissension, and a hot-tempered man commits many sins." How about just lying? Proverbs 6, verse 17. We read that a lying tongue is amongst the six things that God despises. The word says that. "These are the things I despise," says the Lord. Proverbs 6, 17 includes in that a lying tongue. Look what Proverbs 12, 19 says. "Truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue lasts only for a moment." How about flattery? You say, "Well, Pastor, can you define flattery?" I define flattery kind of like this. Gossip is what you would say behind somebody's back that you would never say to their face. But flattery is saying to somebody's face what you would never say behind their back. And most of us secretly enjoy flattery, don't we? But Proverbs warns us to be on our guard against those who sweet talk, if you will. Rhonda's mom would say to her when she was a young lady, be careful of those boys that are always trying to flatter you. They probably had a lot of practice. Proverbs 29:5 said, whoever flatters his neighbor is spreading a net for his feet. What's a flatterer do? A flatterer is one that's patting you on the back today only to find a soft spot to put a knife in it tomorrow. What does the word say? Also, impulsive speech is toxic. Proverbs 29:20. Do you see a man who speaks in haste? There is more hope for a fool than for him. We've all experienced the horror of saying something too quickly. We open our mouth and we've got to extract our foot. But let's look at some examples of life-giving words, if you will. Because words are powerful. They're potent. They can be used to bring death, but they can also resuscitate a floundering life. And here are some beautiful images, real quick, from the book of Proverbs, of what good speech is compared to. First off, good speech, life-giving words, are compared to refreshing water. Proverbs 10:11, the mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life. When we listen to someone who is wise, it's like taking a long drink of fresh water, isn't it? On a very, very parched, dry day. I would also say good words, life-giving words, are compared to tasty food. Look what the word says, Proverbs 16:24. Pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Now, you got to know what that means in that context even. Honey both was a luxury and a medicine in ancient Israel. And when we talk tenderly with others, our words become priceless and provide healing to broken hearts. They're compared also to expensive jewelry. This is one of my mother's favorite verses. She has a painting in her house. She spoke at a women's event about this years ago. And the words that she spoke about were painted by a lady in the audience. Proverbs 25:11 says, a word aptly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. Like an earring of gold or an ornament of fine gold is a wise man's rebuke to a listening ear. Can I tell you, I'd be a rich man today if I had a quarter for every time my mom and dad said, Brad, a word to the wise is sufficient. The fact of the matter was, that's exactly, a fine gold is a wise man's rebuke to a listening ear. Like an expert jeweler, our words can be just balanced, just right. Beautiful in appearance is a gold or a silver setting. So words, say them, they're powerful. Our speech can accomplish a lot of good things. Can breathe beauty and healing into people's lives. But many of us, can I just say it, have been hung by our tongue. I mean, the book of Proverbs talks about that. And I want to just close today over the next 10 minutes and talk about commandments for careful conversations. How to not get licked by your tongue, if you will. Because Proverbs 21:23 says, he who guards his mouth and tongue keeps himself from calamity. I want you to remember that. Look at that again. He who guards his mouth and tongue keeps himself from calamity. So I want to give you these commandments that you and I can apply to our lives. Ready? Look it up here for a second. Isn't the Word of God awesome? I mean, I love this congregation because I know you love God's Word. And I pray you sense that I love God's Word. To be able to share it today, I'm not sharing my intellect. Man, we could last about 10 seconds. But the fact of the matter is, the Word of God is priceless. So I want to give you these commandments from God's Word. Ponder before pouring. What's the old saying? The guys that will build with Pastor Tom and Pastor Dan and the others, Dave Peterson and others, you know what? They're going to measure twice. They're going to cut once. Most of our mouth mistakes are made because we simply don't engage our mind first, right? Proverbs 12:18 says, reckless words pierce like a sword. When I have hurt my wife, Rhonda, And I'm not proud to say that. But when I've been unkind to Rhonda in the 27 years of our marriage, most of the time it's because I did not spend enough time thinking about what I was going to say. Instead, I just let words fly out of my mouth. Proverbs 15:28 says, "The heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things." Ponder. Think about it before you speak. Think before you speak. Think before you speak. Take the acronym of THINK. Is it true? And what I'm going to say, is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? Is this really necessary? Is it kind? What did Paul say to the Ephesians? He said, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." Is what you're going to say, is it going to build the other person up, or are you trying to cut their legs out from under them? We need to ponder before we pour out our words. When we think more, we'll be able to avoid the messes with our mouths, if you will. I was talking to Gabe and Sarah, are over here today. Love these people. And when I give a book recommendation, they're quick to get it. And probably a couple years ago, I told them about and told you about a book. It's just a little booklet. And they, when they got it, they're like, "Pastor, that was just like, that was maybe a 20-minute read or 15-minute read." It was a book written by Charles Hummel, and it's called The Tyranny of the Urgent. Tyranny of the Urgent. Jot that down. That was a hint. Read that. And in Hummel's Tyranny of the Urgent, he gives great advice, sage advice, in my opinion. He says, if you can't give an answer to a request, tell people that you're going to think about it and pray about it first. That'll take the pressure off until you can understand what is the commitment and the responsibility. Sometimes we just answer too quickly. And Hummel says, tell people, get in the habit of saying, you know what, I'm going to think about that and pray about that. Proverbs 26:4, it says, do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you will be like him yourself. Before you answer, I would encourage it, and I'm preaching to myself today, hit the pause button. It might be a helpful habit that you just take a deep breath so that you can reflect before you respond. Ponder before you're pouring. Go on a verbiage diet. Not a vegetable diet. Go on a verbiage diet. What am I saying? Speak less. Our chances of blowing it with our words are directly correlated to the amount of time we spend with our mouths open. The Quakers, they have a saying that's filled with a lot of truth. You know what it says? The Quakers said, never break the silence unless you can improve upon it. I love that. Abraham Lincoln was fond of saying, making a statement close to a passage of scripture. Lincoln used to say, it's better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. But you know, that's very close to what Solomon said in Proverbs 17:28. Even a fool is thought wise if he keeps silent, and discerning if he holds his tongue. Proverbs 10:19 says, when words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise. Ecclesiastes 3:7, Solomon wrote that as well. He said, there's a time to be silent and a time to speak. Proverbs 13:3, it links our lips to our life in a very unsettling way. It says, he who guards his lips guards his life, but he who speaks rashly will come to ruin. I love the little poem written by William Norris. It says, if your lips would keep from slips, five things remember with care. To whom you speak, of whom you speak, and how, and when, and where. The Greek sage Publius, he said, "I've often regretted my speech, but never my silence. Ponder before pouring. Go on a verbiage diet. Increase your listening quotient." Someone has said the reason that we've got two ears and one mouth is that we ought to listen twice as much as we talk. And there are many things that we need to hear and apply to our lives, but unfortunately, we don't do it because we're not listening enough. But Proverbs 15:31 says, "He who listens to a life-giving rebuke will be at home among the wise." Proverbs 19:20, "Listen to advice and accept instruction, and in the end, you will be wise." It's tough to hear someone tell us something we don't want to hear. But it's really the only way that we can become wise. As hard as it is to take time to listen, right, to what God is trying to tell you through individuals, you've got to do it. If you care about growing, you've got to take time to listen what people are speaking into your lives. One of the problems is that I'm often not fully engaged. I confess this to you today. When I'm talking with somebody, many times I'm processing, okay, as a pastor, how am I going to respond? And that is not wise. The word tells us, Proverbs 18:13, "He who answers before listening, that is his folly and shame." So here's one of my goals as a pastor, just over the last few months. I want to listen to people, and while they're talking to me, I want to be engaged. I want to look them in the eye. And then I don't want to begin to process. In fact, I want to give feedback before I begin to speak because I want to fully understand what I've heard. I love what James said. "My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry." Like the old poem, "A wise old owl lived in an oak. The more he heard, the less he spoke. The less he spoke, the more he heard. Why can't we all be like that wise old bird?" If you struggle, ask God to help you lock into people's eyes and listen intently to what they're saying. Fourthly, be a builder. Be a builder. I've heard this verse most of my life, but do you realize, Brighton, that there are people all around you that need to be encouraged? And God can use your words to breathe life into people whose lives are piled with problems. The tongue that brings healing, Proverbs 15:4, is a tree of life. How many of your words? I want to ask you this. Look up here a second. You ready? Remember what I said last week? When we read God's word, it reads us. You still love me? Say amen. Thank you for all three of you that said that. I want to ask you, and I'm looking in the mirror from the word today. How many of your words this last week were words of encouragement? How many of your sentences were devoted to help lift anxious hearts? Here, let's put it down to brass tacks. You ready? If I gave you 10 cents for every kind word you said this past week, and you had to give 5 cents for every critical comment, would you be rich or poor? Someone has said that, you know, it takes no size to criticize. And I would add that it takes a big person to encourage. And one way you can tell if you're an encourager or a discourager is this. Honestly ask yourself, if you're going to lie to yourself, it's not going to help. But honestly ask yourself, do people want to be around you? Or when they see you, do you know what, you kind of get that feeling, I'm out of here. Let me challenge you to work at inserting at least one encouraging word into every conversation you have this coming week. You want to apply the word? Do that. Every conversation you have this coming week, insert at least one encouraging word. Become a gentle giant as well. One reason you may have a difficult time encouraging is because you're not known as one who speaks gently with others. And one of the best ways to evaporate anger from your conversation is to work at becoming calm. Look what the word says. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The next time you're talking to someone who's really torqued, instead of responding in turn, give a gentle answer. Oh, okay. Work this week at getting your points across without raising your voice. It's much more effective. Proverbs 25:15. Through patience, a ruler can be persuaded, and I never saw this before. A gentle tongue can break a bone. What was Solomon saying? You know what? If you give a gentle answer, it's got a powerful effect. You ever notice that? About 6 months ago, before COVID, I was driving down M14 and got off at Miller Road. And Miller Road has the famous roundabouts just like we do, okay? And as I was going around the roundabout, I was the first one in the roundabout, but the two lanes merged to one. And as I moved to the first lane, to the one lane, again, I was in front, but this guy got upset in this big truck behind me. And he just starts laying on his horn all the way down Miller Road, and I'm starting to get upset. I mean, he's laying on the horn, and I get a beep or two, but come on, man, the whole way down the road. And finally, we get up to a light, and he pulls up next to me. And I roll down my window. And I just look, and I said, dude, what are you doing? He said, you cut me off. I said, bro, the lanes merged to one lane. I was just moving. He said, but I should have been able to go first. And I got to tell you, full disclosure, right? I'm in the pulpit. I wanted to respond. And most of the time in life, I haven't. I give you that. But something inside of me just speak to him. And I looked, and just in a moment of time, I just said, hey, I'm sorry about that. Can I tell you? Immediately, he responded with an apology. You know what? I was riding too close too. Sorry. Have a great day. Wow. A soft answer turns away wrath. As someone has said, keep your words soft and sweet. You never know which ones you have to eat. Proverbs 17:14, what does it say? Starting a quarrel is like breaching a dam. So drop the matter before a dispute breaks out. Don't you wish you would have done that in days gone by? Just drop the matter. And that leads us to the last one. Become a gentle giant. And then be able to overlook rather than keep score. As the worship team comes back, give me just a few minutes and I'll close. Most of us are too tough on others, right? And then we expect perfection from them, excusing our own behavior. We grow our grudges instead of giving grace. If you want to tame your tongue and give life to others, I would encourage you, practice the principle found in Proverbs 12:16 regarding the mouth. A fool shows his annoyance at once, but a prudent man overlooks an insult. Overlook rather than keep score. How many marriages, talk to the counselors, Duren, John Ager, talk to the counselors in our church, excuse me, how many marriages would be saved if people could overlook the offenses that a spouse has incurred or has given to some, their spouse? This past week, Ron and I were in a setting with the kids doing some work for Convoy of Hope. I'm not going to tell you specifically where it is, because you may be there soon, and I don't want you to know about the particular spot. But we rented some bikes with the kids, and Eli and I were on one tandem, and Rhonda and Ellie were on another. And along the way, we decided to stop, saw a hot dog stand, and so Ron and the kids went to get hot dog, get the picnic table, while I got the hot dogs. And on the counter, of the hot dog stand, it said college fun. So, you know me, I'm just trying to make conversation. And I'm the only one there. And so I say to the girl behind the counter, I said, where are you going to go to college? See the college fund? I'm going to give a tip. And she responded back, oh, that's for the other girls here. They're going to college. I'm not going to college. I said, oh, okay. She says, we'll call you when your food's ready. I said, okay. But what she didn't know is, you know, I saw Eli and Ellie with their mother long way away. And so I just decided to stay there. She turns around and goes back to the kitchen and really loud. I mean, I wasn't eavesdropping. I could hear the whole thing. She's like, if I hear one more person ask where I'm going to college, I think I'm going to just scream. I'm sick of hearing that, these jerks. When she came back around the corner, she and I locked eyes and she noticed I had moved. Now, again, preaching to myself as much as anybody else today. You know what? While I hear that and the food's getting ready, I'm thinking of some snarky remark that I can give back to her. You said, what'd you come up with, Pat? Well, I was about ready to say something like, hey, you might want to be nice to people or you're going to be serving hot dogs all your life. I know that would have been bad. Instead, while I was there at that little lunch stand, I feel like the Spirit of God just speak to my heart. Let it go. You've said a lot worse. And I'm convinced if each of us would just learn to overlook some things, we would be a happier married couples, happier single people, a healthier church, healthier families. Now, I'm not suggesting you overlook sin, but just look at the circumstances and learn in your marital relationship. If I could speak to Pastor Chris and Felicia, they're going to have differences because God created you differently, and you're grateful for that. But learn. I would say, I would teach them, you know what, not wrong, just different. Learn to say, you know what, the way you think is not wrong, it's just different. And then you and I, we overlook the offenses. And it brings about relational harmony in life. Proverbs 19:11, a man's wisdom gives him patience. It is to his glory to overlook an offense. He who covers over an offense promotes love, but whoever repeats the matter separates close friends. Then lastly, get the gossip out. Someone has said, you know what a gossip is? A fool with a keen sense of rumor, if you will. Look at the word says numerous times. I got to close. A gossip betrays confidence, but a trustworthy man keeps a secret. A gossip separates close friends. A wicked man listens, Proverbs 17:4, listens to evil lips. A liar pays attention to a malicious tongue. When someone's sharing with you juicy morsels of gossip, just learn to tell him or her, you know what? I don't want to hear it. God will bless you for that. The Proverbs reveal, would you stand with me, Bright? The Proverbs reveal, let's close this up. The Proverbs reveal exactly what Jesus said. Matthew 12:34, out of the abundance of the heart, Jesus connoted our lives with a well. And he said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. He says, our lives are like a well. Proverbs 18:4, the words of a man's mouth are what? Deep waters. There's that well imagery again. If you go to a doctor, you know what, and you're feeling a little bit ill, he or she is going to put that tongue depressor on your tongue and look for a film on the tongue, right? And that film on the tongue is going to share with them something is wrong with the body. Only a quack would take out a piece of gauze and wipe the tongue and then just say, well, okay, you're all good now. You say, where are you going with that, Pastor? I'm going this way. The fact of the matter is, you can't change your tongue by taking a verbal advantage class or just saying, you know what, I'm going to go to a speech pathologist. You can only change your tongue by going to a cardiologist named Jesus that'll change the heart. A heart change. And it can only be done at the cross. And if you're watching online or you're in person, I want to tell you, it's with your mouth that salvation is going to come. Did you know Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10 says this? If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Can you say amen? For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. So if you're here today, you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, would you confess him today? I know it's not been a salvation message, but the fact of the matter is I believe the Lord can transcend it because his word is powerful. You're here today and you've never confessed Jesus as Lord. You must do that, friend. If you're watching online, you must do that. And I want to pray for you today. And then we'll respond. Lord, I pray you would anoint the words that have been heard, that they would fall on good soil. I pray, Lord, that the word would take root in people's lives. If there is someone here that has never surrendered to Jesus, I pray that they would confess you as Lord this hour. Lord, I ask that your word would take effect in their hearts and their lives. That, Lord, the word would take root and they would acknowledge with their mouth, Jesus, I've sinned. I'm a sinner and I believe on you. And I claim that for people, Lord, in the house and online today. In Jesus' mighty and wonderful name. With every head bowed and every eye closed. Is there somebody here today? Like the two last week and like the one before, the week before. You've never surrendered your life to Jesus or you've drifted from him. Can I tell you, you're not here by accident. You're here by divine appointment. And it begins, the turnaround begins in your life by confessing with your mouth, Jesus, I need you.